We want to turn in our Bibles this morning to the Gospel by Mark, chapter 12. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, and we begin our reading at verse 28. Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any question. And Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, "How say the scribes that Christ is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he then his son?" Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you in the name of thy dear Son for the clearness of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his glorious person, for his finished work, and for the privilege that we have of drawing near to thee, interceding for others, and expectantly await the answers that come from the very throne of God. It's a thrill to come into your presence. Now we ask you to guide our thoughts, direct our hearts, and cause thy name to be glorified through the ministry of your word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let me say a word about the ministry tonight. We're going to be doing something different tonight than we've ever done on a Sunday night. We have a series of 12 tapes, videotapes, by Dr. Howard Hendricks, of Dallas Seminary on the subject of teaching. And they are excellent. They are instructive. And I just feel like the person in that potato chip announcement that says you can't eat only one. You see, and though I want you to see the first one. And I won't have any problem after you see the first one. I looked at the first two. My soul was thrilled. And I came away after I looked at the first one, and I said, I'm certainly not a teacher. But you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to teach more than anything else. So I know what it will do to you. So at 6 o'clock tonight, we'll be out about 7 o'clock, and we have a large TV set that will be sitting right here in the front. And we'll look at the first in a series of 7 on the subject of teaching. And you'll get a new insight into a man who is a communicator, Howard Hendricks. Now, we're turning to the Word of God. The time element that's involved in the passage that we read this morning is that period of time that is called today as we celebrate Holy Week. It began with Palm, what we know of as Palm Sunday, when our Lord presented himself to the nation of Israel, as it was prophesied in Zechariah chapter 9 and in the 118th Psalm. They took branches of palm leaves and they shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the King of Israel who cometh in the name of the Lord." And he rode into Jerusalem upon a donkey. And of course, each day of that week, he went in the morning to the temple and he expounded the truths of the Word of God. He answered the questions of those who were his enemies, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians. He answered their questions one by one. And in answer to their questions, they often had a parable told to them that came right to the heart of the subject. And it explained many things. Now, as our Lord is teaching in the temple, this is the third time this day. If you read through this chapter, you read the word and at the beginning of paragraphs. And the word and is a connection with that which has gone before, that which he had previously taught. So the first word of verse 28 that we read is the word and. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, he's answering the questions. Previously, he had answered the question of the Sadducees, who were the liberals of the day, and the unbelievers. And they propounded a question to him, whether it was an actual happening or not. But he had to rebuke them because of their ignorance of Scripture and their ignorance of the power of God. And here's a man on the sidelines. He's listening. He's a scribe. A scribe was a man who copied the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Writings. That was his work. He is known not only as a scribe, but also as a lawyer. He was a man who was instructed in the law of God out of the Old Testament. He heard their reasoning, and he comes to the Lord with his question. The question asked is, what is the foremost commandment? Of all the commandments that God gave to Israel, and if you read them all, there are 713 commandments that God gave to Israel, having to do with the whole of the nation, not only 10 that we're well acquainted with, but a total, if you list them all, 713. Now, much difference prevailed among the people of our Lord's day, the Jews, which was the first and the foremost commandment. So, we have to examine this question. And we want to examine more than that, the answer that our Lord gives to that question. It's a very important question. And of course, when he was finished, our Lord looked at this man and he said of him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And that's the sad part. You may not be far from the kingdom of God, but if you're not in the kingdom, you're out. And you see, the answer of our Lord's question becomes all the more important. When we think of this man, he had the ability to listen to the reasoning. He had the ability to come to the Lord. He had the ability to answer our Lord discreetly after our Lord told him the answer that he wanted. And yet he's on the outside. This man is lost, friend. He's close to the kingdom, but he's still outside. You know, that may be your condition. You may have come to learn things concerning the kingdom of God, but you have never been born of God into the kingdom of God, and you're still on the outside, not having entered by the door the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. So consider with me the question. Our Lord, in his teaching ministry in the temple, he took the malicious assaults of men, his enemies, and he used them to teach his own disciples lessons. And we can say like Samson did, when the lion attacked him and he killed the lion. And he propounded the riddle to the Philistines. He said, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. What does a riddle mean? You remember. And we can say, as we look at the answers of our Lord, as believers in our Lord today, truly out of the eater, out of those that would destroy our blessed Lord, came forth meat, food for us, for our souls, that we can be strengthened by the grace of our God. Now notice the Lord's answer. The Lord's answer given to the scribe was probably not what he was expecting. And you'll notice our Lord dealt with this scribe on that which regards the feeling that we have toward God and toward our neighbor. You can have a feeling toward God and not toward your neighbor. They work together. The word neighbor means one that is close at hand. You remember in the Gospel by Luke, in the story of the Good Samaritan, it was a lawyer who came to the Lord, and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said to him, well, you've read the law. How have you read it? And then he quoted certain things out of the law. And he said, all right, so do and you'll live. And the man realized that he was in a corner when it came to loving his neighbor. And he said, who is my neighbor? And our Lord then told the story of the Good Samaritan. You see, the one who is close by is our neighbor. Now, in our Lord's answer, he entered with a verse that is still the favorite and most hallowed verse among the nation of Israel. Every week in the synagogue, they quote Shema Israel, Adonai Elohim, Adonai Ahad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And if you go to the synagogue, they say it week after week, but they really don't say it, they sing it. For the cantor, a man with usually a deep voice, and with a tone of one who is able to sing in an opera, he's the cantor. And he leads the congregation in singing the Shema Israel. And that's how our Lord began. But he moved on from that, from Deuteronomy chapter 6. He moved on and he said, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, we're not merely to obey the one and to abstain from injuring the other. It's not a negative thing. It's a positive thing. We are to give love, the strongest of all the affections, and the most comprehensive of all our activities. Now, you and I cannot love God too well. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. We are to love God better than ourselves. I'm to put all my heart in my loving to God. I'm to put all my soul into loving to God. All my mind and all my strength. That's what God says I want you to do. You see, I'm to love God more than I love myself. And then I'm to love my neighbor as I love myself. That's what the text says. Now, you and I can't be wrong in our affections toward God in the matter of excess. We can't overdo this, for we never have enough. You see, if I love God with all my heart, with all my mind, my soul, and my neighbor as myself, you see, God is worthy of all that I can possibly give him. That's what I read in Revelation chapter 5. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive power and honor and glory and strength and blessing. He's worthy of all this. You see, may I ask you a question? We have to ask you. Where is a person who can say that he perfectly loved God and that he perfectly loves his neighbor? Anybody willing to put up their hand? You notice I'm holding mine down. Where are you? This is what God demands. This is what God demands. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt worship the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Who lives up to it? Put up your hand. You're not being facetious in this. For God doesn't play games, though. Now, I read in Romans chapter 3 a great verse. It's verse 20. It says, for by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. I want you to turn to the third of Romans for a moment. Romans chapter 3. And we want to read beginning at verse 10. I'm going to tell you a story first. I went to visit a man in the hospital one day who was quite ill. His wife was standing by his bedside, and he was asleep. I don't think he was asleep. At least, he had his eyes closed and he didn't move. But I was talking with his wife, and I said to her, I'd like to come to your home one night with an open Bible and we'll sit together and talk about what it means to be born of God, what it means to be saved. Oh, she said, I wish you would. And when she gave me an answer like that, I said to her, I said, well, when would you like it? She said, any time. I said, how about right now? She said, right now is fine with me. And we pulled up a chair and we sat there by the hospital bed. And I opened my New Testament that I had with me. And I said, I'd like you to read to me, beginning at Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. So this is what you read. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And when she was reading, she started to weep. She said, oh, I'm rotten through and through. I said, you said it right. You are rotten through and through. What does God demand? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And thy neighbor as thyself. Who can say he's done it? Read on. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. Oh God, I haven't loved you as I should. I haven't loved you with my whole heart. I haven't loved you with my whole soul. I haven't loved you with my whole mind. and I haven't certainly loved my neighbor as myself. I'm guilty, Lord. I stand before your holy law, guilty. Next verse. Therefore, God looking at man, he looks at man, and every man, no matter who he is, no matter what he's standing in life is, he looks at them all, and he says, therefore, by the deeds of the law. You see, trying to love God today, with my whole heart, my whole soul, my whole mind. What about yesterday? What about the day before yesterday? I'm guilty in the eyes of a holy God. And by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. What do we read? It's only gross ignorance of God's law that makes people undervalue the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news that God saves sinners, not because they keep the law, but by his matchless grace through the redemption provided to Christ. Oh, the gospel is the good news that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day, according to the scriptures, and the lovely Son of God, he did something that I never could do. He loved God with his whole heart, his whole soul, his whole mind, his whole being, and he loved his neighbor as himself. He fulfilled the law of God. I didn't. And then in my place, he bore the wrath of the law of God, which had settled upon us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you don't know what the law says, don't undervalue the gospel. You see, it is the law that shows us how full of sin we are. And it's the gospel who tells us there's redemption in Christ Jesus. There's salvation found in our blessed Lord. Oh, the value of the gospel. Now notice the scribe. Why, the scribe gave great approval, viewing him as an excellent teacher. And he made the bold statement, that the command love is more important than whole burnt sacrifices. Any sacrifice laid on Jewish altars was nothing to be compared with loving God and loving one's neighbor. Now look at the response of the Lord. The Lord responded to this man, and our Lord acknowledged that this man responded wisely. He responded with discretion. Our Lord sought to stimulate further thought in him, and he said to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. You see, this man, this scribe, had more knowledge than many of his equals. Remember, he was a scribe. And remember what our Lord said about the scribes and the Pharisees. He pronounced woes upon them. More than that, he said to man in the Sermon on the Mount, except your righteousness shall exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter in. Our Lord looked at him, and he said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. The sad thing is, nowhere in the New Testament are we ever told that this man who was so near ever became one of our Lord's. My, that's sad. This man is a lot like the rich young ruler of Mark chapter 10. The rich young ruler couldn't make up his mind to give up all and follow Christ. This man may be like the rulers of Israel that are spoken of in the 12th chapter of John in the 43rd verse. They knew that Christ was the Messiah. they believed him. When I say believe, that's a word in John. They gave mental assent to the fact that he was all this, that he was the Messiah, that he was the Savior of Israel. But they did not become one of his disciples, and then it tells why. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Thou art not far from the kingdom. You may know a lot about the Lord. You may give mental assent to it, but has it changed the heart? Have you been born of God? This is the issue. Why? Why, to enter the kingdom of God means that you've been regenerated, made alive by the grace of God, and the Spirit of God indwells, so the Spirit of God and the fruit of the Spirit living within is love, and I'm not enabled to love my neighbor, which I formerly couldn't do. This is what the gospel does for me. Now, there are four things I'd like to leave with you in closing. I want you to think them over. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Now, you and I must see this passion, or this passage, in the lengths to which people go in religious attainment and not be converted and not be saved. Here was a man who had a lot of knowledge. He had gone farther than most in his generation in religious activity. He was a scribe. And he knew a lot. He was able to give our Lord a discreet answer. But he was outside. He was not in. Behold, our Lord said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. But second, and this comes right home to where we live, right here in Graham Bible Fellowship this morning, beware of resting your hope of salvation on mere intellectual knowledge. You see, education makes children acquainted with many things in religion. But education alone will never make a Christian in the sight of God. You may know the Bible from cover to cover, intellectually, but it will not make you a Christian. A Christian is a person who puts all aside of his own activity and leans totally and only on the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I can know the leading doctrines of the gospel with our heads, but they must be received into the heart, and then the life must be guided by them. That's why we have the twofold prong in this statement. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, as Teddy prayed this morning. Oh God, I thank you that you're the God you are. Who could ever conceive of someone so great and yet so loving toward those who rebel against you? So you see, there's that one side toward God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. But then that very love toward God that's a product of regeneration, being born of God, it's not manifested in the life, it's manifested in love toward the neighbor. There's a third thing here. Never rest until you're in the kingdom of God. Don't give rest to your soul until you know you're in the kingdom. This man, it was said of him, thou art not far from the kingdom. Don't give rest to your soul till you know you're in the kingdom. How do you get in the kingdom? By the new birth. That's what the Lord said to Nicodemus. Except a man be born from above. It's a heavenly birth. It's called regeneration by the theologians. We must be born of God. And you see, when a person is born of God, there are things that spring from it. Repentance and faith spring from the new birth. And repentance means a change of life. Repentance, metaneo in the Greek, means a change of attitude, a change of mind. My whole attitude toward things have changed. Why? Well, because I'm in the kingdom of God. I'm now related to a new king, a new ruler, a new lover. Oh, don't rest, friend, until you're sure you're in the kingdom of God. Finally, if you're satisfied with not being far from the kingdom, the time may come when you're shut out forever. And that is sad. My friend, where are you? Are you in the kingdom or not? The following teaching that we don't have time to deal with in this passage, we'll deal with it later. Our Lord instructs the people to understand through His work and His words what is meant by, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." When He speaks of Himself as the Son of David in accordance with the 110th Psalm. But we'll leave that for another time. This morning, the question is, are you in the kingdom? It's fortunate if you're not far from it. But to be far from it means you're out. And you need to be in. I taught the boys and girls at Bible school this summer. Just a couple of days ago. There's one thing better than being saved. It's knowing that you are. Oh, I tell you, to know that I'm saved, that I'm in the kingdom. Oh, it's a blessing. Oh, my friend, this is what God has for you. How sad a man could know so much. Be near, but not in. I trust you'll come in. Let's stand together and sing hymn number 305, Almost Persuaded But to Believe. We'll sing the first and the last stanzas of this hymn. And that last stanza of the hymn says, almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost will not avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost. I'm lost. Are you near and not in? Oh, may God enable you to come. Let's just stand together, sing the first and last 305.